do believe I got a fine guest joining me for Hump Day. He is Dr. Harvey K., a professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. Harvey, welcome back.
It's great to be back. Absolutely.
Well, you must be back home. Last time I saw you, you were here in the studio with me in Madison. Harvey, back near home, I suspect. Where is that? Green Bay area?
Green Bay City. In fact, the city of Green Bay we live in.
Well, Harvey, before we get done with today, I want to ask you about the election that happened yesterday in the great state of Wisconsin. But I also, and I know we're going to talk about the economic bill of rights. I know that that's one of your favorite issues, Harvey. But I got to ask you about the little buffet event, the fraud-a-thon that happened at Mar-a-Lago last night, where Donald Trump invited Michael Gabelman down as a honored guest to basically regale the guest with tales of Zuckerbucks and stolen rigged elections. You know, it's odd to me, but I don't know how we move on. I don't know how we get to kitchen table issues if we can't establish, you know, the basic rules of reality and democracy, Harvey. I get stuck on some of these things.
You know, by the way, help me out. I hate to sound ignorant. Who's Michael Gabelman?
Well, Gabelman is the special prosecutor that was hired by Robin Voss here in the state of Wisconsin.
To do the elections,
Harvey.
Right.
You know, let's roll back the Electoral College, or at least I think we should strongly consider that. That was his conclusion, predicated on zero evidence he offered during his interim report. You know, you recall the guy, corrupted former Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, I apologize. It just literally left me a moment. I had a whole different direction I was moving in when you said Michael Gabelman. But yes, I know who that is. You know, this is part of a larger this question that a few of us have been talking about, friends of mine. And that is that for some time now, the Republicans nationally and at the state level, not all at the national level, but overwhelming majority, they seem to be living off of two big questions that they posed, neither one of which is real in other words, not part of our reality. The first one, the stolen election. I mean, this is bizarre. And the tragedy is that they have enough seats in the legislature, obviously, that they can continue to promote this kind of BS. Okay. And similarly, at the federal level, the survival, the triumph in many ways of Fox News just maintains this kind of thing, right? Over and over again. And it is fascinating that they can somehow do this without breaking into a smile and falling down laughing. Like they cannot possibly believe themselves. If they believe themselves, then really what we need is an army of psychiatrists to address the question, okay? The other thing, and this is really important, this will sort of segue us maybe to the Economic Bill of Rights, and that is that the Republicans for some time now, and this is very much linked to what they're trying to pull here in the state of Wisconsin, have over and over again portrayed progressives as hung up on culture wars, that somehow we're out crusading for culture wars, when in fact the whole culture war thing of the by the way the culture wars have been underway for like 45 years basically. This has always been a Republican talking point, and the more significant their numbers were, the more they have portrayed Democrats generally, progressives in particular, as culture warriors. But if you look closely, and this is really important, if you look closely at what progressives have advanced in terms of federal and state legislation, though undeniably cultural attitudes concern us, the fact is that the folks who they point the finger at regularly are generally pursuing an economic agenda, trying to create, well, first of all, to reduce inequality, which is heavily racially based as well, that they're trying to raise the minimum income of the working poor. We're trying to basically enable Americans to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the Republicans, they've glommed on to these things and they have made tremendous headway. And the problem with the Democrats, and even progressive Democrats, is that for too long, they are responding to these things in terms of policy agendas, which are essential, but they're missing the point. They have yet to come back with a vision that would literally swamp the idiocies emanating from the Republican Party. What I mean by that is, you know, when I think about my presidential hero, Franklin Roosevelt, you know, he spoke in terms in the early years of an economic declaration of rights. He spoke of the four freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. And then late in the war, when he pronounced, you know, in 1944, the State of the Union address, the call for an economic bill of rights for all Americans. I mean, he offered visions that in their own way transcended and brought together diverse causes and diverse possible policy agendas. And the Democrats these days, well, first of all, if you go out on the street, I think I've said this to you before, you go out on the street and you ask Republicans, you ask voters, ask people, do you vote? And you ask them to describe what they believe the Democratic Party is about. Even if they vote Democratic, they'll often reply in talking points of Republicans. As it, not that they subscribe to them, but that's in their minds. This is the, in their imaginations. The left, broadly speaking, politically, must figure out how not to fight each time these things come up, but rather to offer a vision and just drive it home repeatedly. And I think the best way to do that, perhaps, is to go back and pick up once again this question of the economic bill of rights. And I will tell you, Mike, I feel bad. I actually have not looked overall at the election results in the state. I will confess, I was tied up yesterday in meetings, and this morning I was tied up producing shows, and I'll drop a name with Nina Turner, who I'll be doing another show with tonight. So,
oh, big shot.
I apologize.
Big shot. Hanging out with Nina Turner, too good for Crudy and the election results. He is.
Well, yesterday I spent half the day with Tom Nelson, Senate candidate here in Wisconsin. And am I allowed to announce my endorsement on the show?
Well, I think you just did, didn't you?
I essentially did. Yeah. You know, I looked over the we'll come back to that when we talk about Wisconsin politics. But I in particular, I was responding to that news item about how, you know, there's this, I can hardly believe it, Voss had commanded the UW system basically to run a survey of students to ask them about their free speech rights. And apparently the chancellors universally said no, they would not distribute those surveys. The chancellor of UW-Whitewater, who was an interim chancellor, resigned, okay, also feeling that the system afforded no support, from what I understand. And so now the president of the system, I guess, is going to distribute the stuff himself. It is a himself, I believe. And I mean, it's just, that's crazy. I mean, we're going to spend all this money. And they're not doing it truly because they want to know. They're doing it because they want to keep that Republican culture war agenda there. I mean, students have free speech rights. What they don't have a right to is to attack each other in personal ways in the classroom, period. I mean, that's just, that would be unacceptable. No professor would put up with that kind of crap.
Dr. Harvey K., my fine guest, Dr. Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, the Republicans have basically stopped governing, as near as I can tell. I don't hear any governing policy from them. They tell us, you know, well, we wouldn't do it the way Joe Biden's doing it, or we wouldn't do it the way Tony Evers doing it. We're not socialist, but they don't actually have any governing policy. They're basically down to fighting the wars of social division. And, you know, so much of what I see these days, Harvey, it's bigoted, it's misogynistic, it's anti-gay, yes, it's anti-trans. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's not where the majority of the American people are at, but these issues, they engage, they energize the right. And whether it's Vicky McKenna, this right-wing talk radio host, claiming that a local school district's got a policy for furries, or whether it's Michael Gableman running down to Mar-a-Lago to stroke Trump's ego and tell him what he wants to hear. Oh, the last election, it was rigged. Again, Harvey, you know, if it was just about comparing the policies of the Democrats, you know, you and I both have our issues at times with the Democratic Party and the politicians thereof. But there's only one party that's even trying to be the adults in the room here, tell the truth, and govern the nation, and that ain't the Republicans, Harvey.
Yeah, well, you know, the adults in the room are... Let me take one example of how the adults in the room are just utterly failing. I know you find me always to do this. It is striking that with all the evidence available, I mean, the evidence just pouring out these last months, that they have yet to prosecute you know who, okay? Donald Trump is literally has got, you know, he was a failed coup on his part to try to stay in power. And Republicans across the country and state after state where they control the legislature, they have passed laws that may well allow them to actually succeed in pulling off a coup in 2024, if not sooner. And it seems to me that the Democrats can have all the hearings they want. Americans want to know, when are you going to do something about these threats to our democracy? And by the way, I mean, they can accuse Tony Evers of governing in a certain way. My feeling is Tony Evers hasn't even had a chance to govern. Okay, his major power is to be able to veto the utterly reactionary endeavors of the Republicans. So it's always funny when they say, you know, talk about Tony Evers' governance. Tony Evers hasn't had a chance to govern. I mean, that is the problem.
Harvey, let's talk about something the American people. To my understanding, the polling I've seen would find very popular. Bernie Sanders currently advocating for a windfall profits tax, which is usually used during time of war. Well, you know, Ukraine's going on. We've had this international pandemic. And Bernie thinks it'd be a hell of a time to roll out a windfall profits tax and stick it to corporations that are, you know, taking in record multi-billion dollar profits. And then, of course, turn around and blame inflation on Joe Biden. What do you think of the idea? I mean, I like the idea. I think the American people overwhelmingly think billionaires should be taxed more. And if this is the means, then this is the means. But Harvey, is this, I realize it's not the fully fleshed out economic bill of rights, but what about this particular proposition from Bernie?
Well, it wouldn't be part of an economic bill of rights. However, for example, when Franklin Roosevelt was president, he made it a point of saying to people straight out, it's like in, you know, 1933, 34, 35, he talked very bluntly about how the inequality of wealth in the United States at that time afforded a drastic inequality of power. And that if you're going to have a democracy, you cannot have that kind of inequality. Then they weren't called billionaires. They were called the multimillionaires. And so he proceeded to tax the rich and to raise taxes on capital. Now, he raised the ire of the capitalist class. In fact, they mobilized against him. They organized on a massive scale to try to bring an end to his administration. And some of them conspired to literally try to stage a coup in the United States. And what did he do? He trusted the American people. He talked openly about the threat. And as he put it, I welcome their hatred. That's how he put it. Now, I'd love to see Joe Biden finally face the fact that those accusing him of inflation should start pointing a finger at the folks who are, you know, there used to be war profiteers. So now we can talk about inflation profiteers. All I know is the price of oil started coming down faster than the price of gasoline at the pumps. That's all I can say.
Folks, he is Dr. Harvey Kaye. He is a friend of this show. He is a professor emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He did not check the elective results last night. And, you know,
I can tell you that one of my former students, who I absolutely, from 30 years ago, won a seat on the school board here in Green Bay, and I'm thrilled.
And who's that?
His name is Brian Mills.
Congratulations, Brian. Come back the rest of you. More Devil Radio, more Devil's Advocates, more Harvey Kaye. We'll be right back.
And the buck stops with me.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. Got a fine guest. He is Dr. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, appreciate you coming around. I want to ask you, student loans. The White House, the administration today said they're going to continue the pause on student loans through, I think it's the end of summer, Harvey. You know,
yes.
Good start, I guess. But why don't they take the full step and start forgiving student loan debt, Harvey? I mean, this is a real tangible thing. I have read many press accounts that says that Joe Biden is empowered to do this, Harvey. So why didn't the man pull the trigger? Didn't he campaign on at least something of the sort?
Yes, he did. And can I tell you, some of my former students were asking me today in text, when they heard about the suspension till August again, did I think that augured good or bad for signing off, for executing, if you like, student debts? And I said, I'm starting to believe he's going to do it. I think he's getting Americans used to the idea that these loans are atrocious and are hampering economic growth and development in the United States. Now, it seems inconceivable to me that he's going to do it beyond November 2022, because that would be a waste of a good political pen. But we should definitely remember what I'm saying right now. I have a feeling that before the end of the summer, he's going to do it. That's the sense.
And when you say
I have nothing to base it on other than that you keep putting it off.
Okay,
unless he's decided he's going to put it off and leave it to somebody in another administration, he couldn't possibly reinstitute it without jeopardizing at this time his own reelection. He's already disappointed people. If he actually then reinstitutes the debt payments, then surely he'll just not only antagonize people, he's likely to truly, you know, I don't know if I can use the word, so I'll just say anger them all the more.
Fair enough. Harvey Cape. Economic Bill of Rights. We know there are state lawmakers here.
Can I just add a note to that student loan thing?
Absolutely.
I've been tweeting in favor of abolishing the student loan debt. But I also want to say, and this could anger some people, but that's part of my business to anger people. I think if we're going to write off student loan debt, that we should also have Congress pass a law outlawing for-profit higher education. I really do mean that. I don't mean private schools or Catholic universities or Protestant universities. I'm talking about for-profit higher education. Because I know that a lot of the debt that's accumulated is not only students who just can't afford the rising tuition rates at UW system campuses. I also know that a lot of people start these programs, these private for-profit schools, and you see them popping up all over. And, you know, basically, they just never finish. They just never finish. And the programs themselves are utterly inadequate, packaged programs. So I'd like to see them abolish student debt and abolish for-profit higher education.
Well, Harvey, I would just point to one sports analogy. There is a University of Phoenix stadium, but no University of Phoenix football team. They are a for-profit university making so much money. They took the naming rights
right.
of the local stadium.
Yeah. You got it.
Harvey, Economic Bill of Rights. I know this has been one of your buzzwords. I know you write continuously about this. And I know it's being supported and legislatively being rolled out. I believe Christina Shelton and Francesca Hong. So, Harvey, where do we stand? Chapter 2. We've introduced it. That was recent. That's the last time you came in. Where do we stand today on this movement? And are progressives, are Democrats embracing this thought?
I have yet to hear to what extent a greater number of Democrats have embraced it. I can tell you this. I did an interesting little thing a few weeks ago since I saw you. So it's been the last, is that 3 weeks?
I'm losing track of time. Sure.
Yeah. And I tweeted out, let's see who the real progressives are in the Senate race here in Wisconsin. And I tweeted to each, they were all in this tweet. And I laid out the basics of an Economic Bill of Rights with a link to the national version of an Economic Bill of Rights that Alan Minsky and I put together in cooperation with Progressive Democrats of America. And I can tell you, there was only one candidate who did. And this is what led me to actually endorse Tom Nelson. The tweet was completely ignored by three camps, but was embraced by Tom Nelson. And when I said something to him about, well, that's great, he said, well, how could a Democrat not support a guarantee of a job with a living wage? How could they not support healthcare guarantee, quality healthcare, comprehensive healthcare guarantee? How could they not support the idea of free public education and higher education? I mean, all of these things, which, by the way, the overwhelming majority of Americans support as an idea. And if the Democrats can't bring themselves to embrace that, then I can tell you that they can claim all they want that they're progressives, but they are not. And it's just very upsetting. I really had imagined we might hear. I mean, I really imagined Mandela Barnes, Lasry, maybe even Sarah Galuski would come forth in and embrace it. It didn't ask them to endorse a specific piece of legislation. It was the idea of embracing a vision and a project for progressive Democrats. And of course, the fundamental one or two is, first of all, healthcare for all. If you can't endorse that, join another party. If you can't endorse the idea that if a person works 40 hours, they deserve a wage that will enable them to live comfortably in a high quality fashion. I mean, it's just inconceivable to me that any Democrat could fail to embrace that.
You know, I've got two of those three candidates coming on this show this week. So I'll ask Mandela Barnes on Friday at 5, and I'll ask Alex Lasry on Friday at 4 o'clock where they stand on this whole economic bill of rights. Harvey, before we run out of time.
And thank you for doing that. And let me know what you hear, of course.
Well, I'll have to make a note to myself. But Harvey, let me ask, how do you think unionization factors in to this greater economic bill of rights? And we're down to like our last 90 seconds, Harvey.
Two things. First of all, the right to a union is fundamental. That's in our economic bill of rights proposal. And two, when FDR proposed that economic bill of rights, he lined up unanimous support from labor unions, civil rights organizations, and at least half of the farmers' organizations, the progressive half of farmers' organizations. It's time now for labor unions to join in the call for an economic bill of rights.
Dr. Harvey Kaye, always appreciate when you come around here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Harvey is a professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And unlike Judge Pocan, apparently that's the reason Ron Johnson rejected him. You apparently are a citizen of the great city of Green Bay. So, you know, I hear there's a federal judgeship open, Harvey. You could be the man. You got the right city on your resume.
You got it.
Harvey, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. I'll check
Thank
in after
you.
I
always a pleasure.
Check
always
in with a
pleasure.
Couple of the senatorial candidates, but you heard it here first. Harvey endorsed
Thank you.
Tom
Thank
Nelson. You. Come back. I endorse hour two. It's next.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Doctor.
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 And doctor.